The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Do you ever feel stuck on a hamster wheel, constantly running but getting nowhere? The secret is actually quite simple. When you fall in love with yourself, everything else falls into place, personally and professionally. It's time to get unstuck, reclaim your personal power, and recapture your zest for living. Now, here's your host, Deborah Jane Wells.
Hi there, this is Deborah Jane Wells, life coach and Reiki master. Thanks for tuning in to our show. Today's theme is creating a life you positively love. I am pleased to welcome today's guest, Luke Iorio, President and CEO of the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching. IPEC is the provider of the most comprehensive and experiential coach training program in the world and originator of the core energy coaching process. Since 2005, Luke and his team have graduated more than 5,000 coaches and coach-centric leaders, including executives, entrepreneurs, nonprofit founders, educational leaders, and professional athletes. Luke has an avid interest in human potential, engagement, and performance. Through copious coaching sessions and research projects, he seeks out the common threads that produce exceptional individual and team success. Luke's personal credo, live and lead on fire, is omnipresent in everything he does.
Thanks for having me here today, Deborah.
You are most welcome. It is my utter joy to have you with me, as you know. Each week on this show, we explore the transformative power of loving yourself unconditionally, how choosing to fuel yourself with constructive core energy based in love, respect, curiosity, compassion, and gratitude produces a life of generous, effortless, gracious flow filled with faith, hope, prosperity, peace, and joy. Your experience shifts from victim to victory, breakdown to breakthrough. As a life coach and Reiki master, I help people who are stuck in the hamster wheel approach to life, trapped by fear and the mistaken belief that busyness is the same as purpose. They can't stand the way they're living, but feel powerless to stop. As we work together, my clients discover what I discovered. When you fall in love with yourself, everything else falls into place, personally and professionally. Choosing love as your core energy changes your perceptions, opportunities, relationships, and priorities. You get unstuck, reclaim your personal power, and recapture your zest for living, moving yourself forward into a life you love. When love transforms your relationship with yourself, it can't help but transform your personal life, your work, and the world. Luke's own life is an inspiring example of the transformation that's possible when you shift from fueling yourself with fear to fueling yourself with unconditional self-love. So, Luke, what misery-making melodrama did choosing fear and the hamster wheel create for you, and how did learning to choose love change your life?
Well, thanks, Deborah. You know, I think it's interesting because, you know, we talk about choosing fear, and I guess that's really the challenge of what so many of us go through and what I went through earlier on in life, is that I didn't recognize, I wasn't conscious about the kind of the fear that I'd let build up in myself. And so, you know, early on, I was an individual, and a lot of people that I share this with now are very surprised because I have been known to share this in front of hundreds and at times thousands of people, that I was a wallflower growing up. I was the individual that was extraordinarily shy, and not just from a personality standpoint, but, you know, lack of confidence and tremendous amounts of self-doubt. And it was that constant inner critic and inner voice that was chipping away that was always saying, you know, don't speak up. Don't share that point of view. Don't put yourself out there. Don't take that risk. and you don't recognize exactly that that's what's going on. That's the cycle. That's the hamster wheel you're creating for yourself. You're not really conscious that you have that choice in front of you to choose something different, to choose to believe in yourself, to choose yourself. And so you recreate that fear over and over and over again. And the challenge is it's a bit of a spiral. Once you're on that track that has you withdrawn or has you, you know, arguing and resisting other people, as opposed to being much more open, that tends to spiral and it reinforces itself over and over and over again. And so thankfully, I was in the position that even though that's what I was going through much younger in life, I had the really fortunate benefit of having a series of mentors very early in my life, and that wasn't by design, shy of one. And that was, you know, myself, coming from, just a very fortunate family situation. My father had studied personal development for 30 plus years. And so when I was in this, you know, this type of, withdrawn position and questioning a lot of things about myself, I started reading Napoleon Hill and Ogmandino and Dale Carnegie and, you know, kind of all of those people that get you into personal development, things like that. And it was that the time that I started to recognize that I had a lot more choice in front of me than I ever imagined. And you know, I guess, Deborah, my guess is that a lot of the other guests that you have on this show, all of their transformations probably began with making a choice or recognizing the fact that they even had a choice in the first place.
That's so true. And everybody tends to have a victim to victory story of one sort or another. And our stories are ongoing, so there's even more opportunity for victory. Mm-hmm. One of the things that resonated for me in what you said that I encounter with clients and colleagues all the time is this idea that loving ourselves is selfishness, as in a bad thing. And, you know, I'm wondering how that whole confusion that we can sometimes have, because what I say is there's a reason the flight attendants tell you to put your oxygen mask on first before you help anyone else, because you cannot give from an empty well. And so if you don't have oxygen to breathe to fuel your brain constructively, there's no way you're going to be a big help, you know, in a crisis or in a day-to-day situation.
You know, and it's interesting, because that was the exact realization that I had come to, which allowed me to start making different choices, was the fact that, you know, I came to the realization, no one else was going to make me happy. No one else was going to make me confident. No one else was going to do anything for me, per se. They couldn't create that change in me. I had to. And when I started to recognize that there were different ways of perceiving what was going on around me, that I literally could look for new choices, I could look for new perspectives, and that I could look to take care of myself in a very, very different way, all of a sudden I had more to give to others, right? Yeah. So we hear all the time about people that pour themselves out for other people. And I was one of those individuals that I would do that from time to time, but the only reason why I was doing that was I was trying to make myself feel good. Yeah. I forgot that I needed to put myself first and fill myself up, because at that point the cup runneth over, right? And now once you are filled up and you know how to build yourself in that regard over and over and over again, you can rejuvenate, you can regenerate, which means you've got that much more to give to everybody else. That's what's then going to create that spiral going in the other direction. If we think of the hamster wheel more as that spiral, it's something that you can either work against you or it's something you can work for you. Yeah. You're the one who decides what direction that spiral goes in. And when I started to recognize that the intervention was choosing myself first and doing certain things to build myself up, that spiral changed directions. It started going upward, which created a different reinforcement over and over and over again of what was possible for me.
Yeah, I from knowing you, Luke, I agree. The idea of imagining you, I can't imagine you as the shy, self-doubting wallflower, because I know you as the, you know, live and lead on fire guy who,
exactly,
you know, embodies his mantra.
And it's something, and I think that's also really important, and I also needed to learn that as I started to make a shift as well. It doesn't happen overnight. I remember even after starting to become aware of some of these things and deciding to do things different, one of the things that used to terrify me, the number one public fear is public speaking, right? And so I remember even just in little tiny networking groups when I was doing some business-to-business networking to fill a previous consulting practice that I owned. And I remembered how terrified I was even to speak for 60 seconds in front of a group of 8 to 12 people. And I needed to literally condition myself that as soon as I felt myself start to withdraw, I trained myself to not think and just speak at the very first chance that I got, to insert myself into the conversation, because I needed to retrain myself that that's the time to lean in to the challenge or the proposed fear, as opposed to shy away from it. And why that's important is, one, it creates that slight intervention, but change doesn't happen overnight. Or I should really say, the buildup to change doesn't happen overnight. You go through these series of steps and these small wins, and when you do that, you can start to see your progress. That progress then gets bigger. You take bigger steps. You take even bigger steps. The progress gets bigger. So it's a reinforcement cycle that you've got to go through. And that's ultimately what builds up a lot of that evidence for us to say, hey, wait a minute, things are different.
Well, and one of the things I think of, too, as you say that, is how important it is to notice. So that self-love I talk about is to notice every little baby step that you're making and to celebrate it. Because
absolutely,
when we do that, when we say, attaboy, attagirl, way to go, or at least take a moment when we finish something and pat ourselves on the back a bit, it fosters the positive fuel that allows us to flow forward into the next, maybe bigger thing that we're going to do, the next step we're going to take.
So true.
You know, so often we don't do that. We just look at the list and say, okay, well, I got that done. Now, what else do I still have on my to-do list?
We're always measuring ourselves by how we feel like we fall short, as opposed to measuring ourselves by the progress that we've made. And I think that part of the, maybe even some of the fear of that, is not just that we're used to looking at where we've fallen short, which is unfortunately how we are constantly looking at things. I mean, even if you look at just something as simple as a grading system, it's, you know, how short of a perfect score was I, right? So you're always seeing where the deficiency was. That said, is once you start to turn that tide, some people are worried about celebrating that success because they're worried it's going to lead to complacency. And that's really the thing, is that for a lot of people, neither kind of perspective leads to anything. It's your consciousness around what you want to do with that information, your awareness of this just is what it is. Now, where do I want to go from here?
Right.
That matters most.
And I also think that sometimes we're afraid that it will lead to expectation on the part of others. So
it's
both the, gee, they'll get complacent, or gee, they'll expect this every day from me.
Absolutely. You know, it's the many quotes, and much of which is tied back to Marianne Williamson with so much attributed back to her, but it's we're afraid of our own greatness.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden we're worried, oh yeah, it'll create all these other expectations of other people. And what we're actually saying, we're afraid of the expectations that we'll now have of ourselves.
Yeah.
And we're afraid that it actually, oh my gosh, that might be true. I might be capable of this. So if I am capable of this, then I've got no more excuses left.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so I'm guessing you're a big fan of the fact that one of the things I do, which both makes me laugh and delights me, is when I finish something, I say out loud, I totally rock. I just totally rock. I just, like, that's amazing. And, you know, it could be, as you know, I just submitted my manuscript for my first book with Hay House Balboa Press on Valentine's Day. What a great day for a book about love. And, you know, I just celebrated with myself.
Absolutely.
You know,
that's a great it's a great accomplishment.
Yeah. But so was every paragraph. I mean, I celebrated every day. Some days what I accomplished was I finally found the verb I was looking for. I finally got the next sentence, or I got an insight into the next, you know, the next chapter, or how to reformat things. That nothing big in life is built all at once. That these big things, sustainable, lasting accomplishment and change, it happens as a series of very organic baby steps that are sustainable. And if you don't, you know, I find that the celebrating of all of that along the way, knowing that you're building toward that dream that you have, that that's what helps it make it happen.
Well, I think something that you also just bring up, and I, you know, just to make sure nobody confuses this, because it's even a word we use in setting up the fact I was going to be here today, is around the idea of being positive. And I think that a lot of the connotation out there and what some people resist when they hear, you know, being positive is they view it as something that, you know, you're whitewashing what's going on there. And you're, you know, you're only looking for the silver lining and you may be ignoring, you know, all the other stuff that's going on. And this isn't just some mindset to trick yourself into believing things are good. What you just described is not just a thinking positive thing. It's being appreciative.
Yeah,
and it's you know, recognizing that any single situation you can look at multiple ways. It doesn't mean you're going to disregard the entirety of the situation. It just means what's the mindset you're going to have when viewing it. And that's going to lead to a lot of different insights. So when you celebrate those successes, when you celebrate those things and appreciate those things that are going well, it becomes a habit. You begin to believe that you can do it over and over and over again, that you can achieve this progress over and over and over again. And the funny thing is when you begin to expect that, it tends to happen. You get what you're after.
Yeah, and it happens not from some woo-woo magical out there place. It happens because when you fuel yourself with fear, you lay down layers of sediment that keep you from seeing all the wisdom you have inside you already. When you notice and not deny or smother or try to eat your way out of it or, you know, any of the other things we do to try to escape. But when you notice it with respect and embrace it and learn from that remaining fear that you uncover every day, then you clear the path to have a clear line of sight to your deepest wisdom. So you notice the opportunities. If you go expecting an opportunity, then you can recognize it when it shows up. But if you go expecting the worst, you won't even see the opportunity.
It's really what you just described is the fact that when you can create that mindset so that you're not operating out of that anxiety that could create it out of fear, you recognize any single person right now can sit with and feel the gut instinct, that anxiety that fear creates in you.
Yeah.
And you know that when you take action that way, you know how limited your action is, how limited your engagement is when you feel that anxiety. When you're feeling strong and you have a powerful mindset, which many of us have also felt and take action from that place, you take it in a very different way. You take it with a different level of confidence and engagement. And obviously your results are inherently different. It all just
becomes
a choice.
And we're going to stop here for a minute and take a short break. And we will be back in 2 minutes.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Inspired by today's show? Visit Deborah at djwlifecoach.com and click on the current offers tab to access her proven life coaching programs and tools. Everything from her signature workbooks and videos to entertaining and inspiring blogs and newsletters. You'll even have the opportunity to sign up for a 60-minute complimentary coaching session. If someone offered you a precious gift for an hour of your time, would you be interested? That's what Deborah offers in a comp session. It isn't a brief demo or sample. It's a full 45-minute coaching session focused on your current real-life challenges, plus 15 minutes to discuss any questions you may have about her approach. Those who've experienced Deborah's comp sessions will tell you that when you show up fully committed to your own growth and open to the possibilities for transformation, big breakthroughs happen. What have you got to lose other than your fears and limiting beliefs? Visit the current offers tab on djwlifecoach.com. Choose your energy and change your life.
Hi, I'm Ed Krell, CEO of Destination Maternity. We proudly support the March of Dimes work in reducing premature births. Almost 500,000 babies are born too soon in the United States. We're helping the March of Dimes fund cutting-edge research and life-saving programs to help moms in our communities have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us during Prematurity Awareness Month in working together for stronger, healthier babies. Visit marchofdimes.com.
Friend us on Facebook to keep up with what's empowering the world. Voice America Empowerment.
You are listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life with Deborah Jane Wells. If you have a question or comment for the program today, please call us toll-free at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. Or you may send an email to Deborah at djwlifecoach.com. Now, back to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life.
Hi, everyone. This is Deborah again. Welcome back to our show with my guest, Luke Iorio. In the previous segment, we discussed how choosing to fuel ourselves with fear-based core energy creates misery in our lives, and how choosing to fuel ourselves with love creates a life of generous, effortless, gracious flow instead. In this second segment, Luke and I will examine the roles of choice, filters, and consciousness in creating a life you positively love. Luke, I've heard you speak many times about the power of being at choice. What does that construct mean to you?
Well, I think really it begins with, we talk about this, and I'll draw on the concept of filters first, because based on everything we have ever been through in our lives, every experience we've ever had, every relationship we've ever had, whether it's professional or personal, the values that we've come to have, the principles, the viewpoints, the beliefs, everything that we have been through to this point in our life gives us a certain way of seeing the world. And that way that we see the world creates a filter. So we're going to see certain information and we're going to block out others because of sometimes the blinders that we have on. And so for us, to truly be at choice, the first critical step of this is beginning to have that amazing awareness of what's in your filter. Because based on, any situation that goes on in your life or at work or what have you, you're going to tend to react to it or respond to it in a certain way. What dictates the way that you respond or react to a given situation is based on how you view it. It's based on that filter. So the more that we understand the lens that we presently have, the filter that we presently are wearing, we're going to understand what information we're seeing, and we're going to understand what information we're not seeing, or at least we usually don't see. That gives us the ability, when we begin to understand that, all of a sudden we can, widen the filter, take those blinders off to a certain degree, and begin to look at any given situation from multiple perspectives. Because as soon as we gain more perspectives, we gain more possibility for how we may choose to respond going forward. And that's really what we're after, is that when we say being at choice, it's helping people recognize, that any given time you might be using your filter based on, what you've learned and, everybody from the previous boss you worked for to a friend you used to have to parents and their impact on you at given times. If you have a filter that constantly has you focusing on those things that you cannot control and that you're constantly fighting against it or feeling like you have no choice and you feel helpless, you cannot change these things, then you're constantly going to actually feel like you have no choice. And that's going to drain you. It's going to deplete you. It's going to leave you with no energy whatsoever. But if you widen that filter to say, wait a minute, what are the things in the situation that I do have choice over? Where is it that I actually do have some control? Well, you always have control over yourself. You always have control over how you're going to choose to view a given situation. And really what a lot of this is about helping people understand how to understand what is in that filter, how to become aware of what's in that filter. And, as I talk about, get comfortable with just getting an amazing awareness of your own weird little world. Have fun with your own weird little world. It's a fun place. We've created it over decades. But understand that it is your own weird little world. You've got your idiosyncrasies, your funny way of seeing things, and so do other people. And neither one is right or wrong. This is how you view it. This is how this person views it. Now, how can we gain more from understanding what's the different perspective that each person has? And let's see how many choices are on the table for us.
Yeah, I love that your weird little world. I always say wherever I go, there I am. And I'll say, exactly. Oh, look, there I am again. I'm still here. When you were talking, I thought about the metaphor of a camera. Mm-hmm. When a landscape sits in front of us and we pick up a camera with a regular lens on it, we can capture a certain amount of the picture. But when we put a wide angle lens on it, we can capture much more of the picture. Now, it's not that reality went away or got bigger. It's that our ability to see it and to capture it got bigger.
Absolutely. And, actually, just staying on that metaphor for a moment, you think about the aperture. The aperture is how long is the lens going to effectively stay open to take in the light to process all the information that's in front of us and in front of the camera. And that's actually sort of the more aware you become of what filter, what lens you have on at any given moment, it's almost like you can look at a given situation and your ability to pull in information it's almost like you've opened it up even further. So you've not only opened up the angle of the lens, but you've opened up how much information you can take in at one moment. And when you do that, all of a sudden what happens, and this is, I think, so critical for where we're at with how complex our environment and our society is, has become, is that when you open up even further, you start to gain the context for a situation as much as you gain the content of the situation. Mm. And it's usually the context that is actually creating the meaning, but so very seldom is what we actually look for.
Yeah, and I asked all the time on this question of making choices, because it sounds lovely to say, well, I get to choose. But then the universe responds with multiple options. And so people will ask me, well, how do I decide? And the first rule for me is look underneath, look at your three opportunities and become conscious of your reaction to them, and then look underneath that reaction and see whether what you find is your core energy is fear or love. If it's love, then you're probably somewhere in the neighborhood of your authentic path. And if all three options feel like love, what would the next baby step toward each of them be? Take the baby step and then go about your business doing your other stuff, because the universe is going to send you feedback. It may slam the door on the first one. You took that baby step, was like, nope, not this. The second one, it may give you, it moves it a little bit forward. But the third one, it may open the door wide and it's like the floodgates. Versus love.
It's, you know, when I went through some of my own, you know, personal transformation earlier in life, when I started opening up and taking some of those chances and taking some of those risks and putting myself out there more, to expand my comfort zone, when that path led me to be introduced to IPAC, I was not actually with Bruce Schneider, our founder of IPAC. I wasn't with him at the very start of the Institute. I came in a couple of years after that. And when I was introduced to IPAC, this field of coaching and all these other things, which, despite all the personal development that I had, I hadn't been familiar with at that point. But what I was able to get clear on for me, my options, those couple of options that were on the table for me, is you describe it in terms of fear and love. Well, for me, in terms of that expression of where love came into the picture, so to speak, is that I started to become very clear on my purpose. So I began to understand where I create meaning in my life and how I look for meaning in my life and what gives me that meaning. And so when I started to look at it that way and I started to look at how much I enjoyed helping others, but it wasn't just to help them to make them feel better or make me feel better. It was helping them to get to a certain point of realization in their lives, meaning I wanted to help them become more conscious. I wanted them to recognize how much choice they actually had in their life. So for me, when I got very clear on what my purpose was and where I derive meaning and how that was reflected in my personal values and how that was reflected in even my very tangible, specific, pragmatic goals for my career and what I wanted to do with my life, just from a practical standpoint, I got clear on all those things. And then all of a sudden, the options were very, very obvious as to what was authentically going to drive me where I wanted to go. So that's also part of when I talk about, you know, knowing your own weird little world and knowing what's in that filter, the more that you become clear on your purpose, your personal values, what you believe in, where are your strengths, where do you derive meaning from? When you get clear on all those things, all of a sudden choices get really easy. As my grandfather always used to say, it's easy to make a choice when you know what you stand for.
Yeah. Well, and embracing, one of the things I heard in there is being able to embrace your own gifts and appreciate them, that part of finding that authentic voice, and, you know, I have my own story about transformation, which we've talked about a lot on this show, and is really about really being able to see yourself with love and authenticity for what it is that you are really gifted at, and then without fear, being able to step into that and be all you can be and help others be all they can be by contributing to the greater good. I've got my contribution to make, you've got your contribution to make, and you and I don't live in a scarcity-based world. So when you make your contribution and you do something that we call success or move forward or get bigger or whatever, that's not a thing for me to fear. We all celebrate that because you've just shown once again how all of us can do that.
Well, and when you start to recognize what your strengths are and what you stand for and your purpose and everything else, I at some point along the way, and I can't tell you exactly when this occurred for me, I just know it was a transition that occurred, a transformation really, was that fear all of a sudden became a sign to me that mm-hmm. I was about to expand my comfort zone.
Yeah.
It became actually a wonderful notification that said, hey, you're about to do something different. You're about to do something that you typically aren't comfortable with. And if I listened to the fear and said, shy away from that, mm-hmm. which was my original MO, and instead I said, I'm not going to shy away from it. I'm actually going to use that as a sign that, wait a minute, I might be on the right path.
Yeah.
I don't want to hold back.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden it helps me redefine how fear was showing up for me. And it actually became something that was of great use to me as opposed to something that was going to hold me back.
When that fear shows up in the form of that negative head chatter, which you and I tend to refer to as gremlin speak,
mm-hmm.
I always tell my clients when they tell me their gremlins are acting up and they're saying mm-hmm. all this stuff, I say, oh my gosh, this is great news. Congratulations.
Absolutely.
Because you are on the verge of a big breakthrough and they are freaked. They're saying mm-hmm. it's hard enough to keep her safe now,
mm-hmm.
you know, as big as she is. If she gets any bigger, how will we keep her safe? And so going and engaging, understanding the fear and leaning into it, I love, because that's one of the things I say, lean into it. Don't pull back from it. Lean into it and see what you can learn.
Well, fear, you know, I've heard so many, you know, different perspectives on this and talked to my clients extensively about this and so many students at IPEC about it, is helping people recognize how they were going to begin to move through that fear when it started to pop up. And what really... some of the, I guess, differentiated path that they took. Fear is going to convince you that you need to actually have the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Power is going to convince you that you just need to be the one to figure out the answer. Different, totally different directions. One is telling you you must know it or you are less than.
Mm-hmm.
The other is placing your confidence in the process of finding out.
Mm-hmm.
And for how rapidly our environment, our economy, our jobs, our organizations, our school systems, everything is changing in our environment, and it's changing at an ever faster pace. It's not about having the answer. And that's where so much fear is coming from, is the things that we used to know, we don't know anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But the more that we become accustomed and look for the strengths that we have that help us find the path, that help us find the answer, that help us figure things out, and when we build those strengths, it no longer matter what changes. Those disciplines don't go away.
Yeah, those discrete answers have a purpose for a time. But because
mm-hmm.
everything keeps moving forward and evolving and growing, it's the process that you can depend yeah. on long term.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, that really is so much of, you know, I again, a question I commonly throw out to some of my clients is just simply asking them, so which can you control, the result or the process?
Mm.
You know, inevitably, it's, well, actually, no, there's too many things that may be outside of my control to absolutely control the result. But I do know I can control the process because that's something I'm intimately involved with. That's me. That's me that's on that journey, that's on that path. And so we talk about if you can consistently believe that the process is the way the focus is on the process, then let's talk about what do you need to do on that path, in that plan, on that journey, in this process that is going to set you up for success. And then how confident are you that if you continue to do those things over and over and over again and you follow that plan and make the appropriate adjustments as we go, how confident are you that the results will come? It's no longer a matter of if, it becomes a matter of when.
Yes, and your life and IPEC are a testament to that, and the role that IPEC has played in my life is, you know, it's just amazing how it took a person who was utterly burned out, 80 pounds
mm-hmm.
overweight,
mm-hmm.
And clinically depressed for 10 years and had then gone through the physical and mental transformation. So by the time I found IPEC, I was, you know, back down to fit and healthy
mm-hmm.
physically and making my way mentally. But going through the process I did in feeling called to be a coach, it built so on my 30 years experience as an organization transformation consultant.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about seeing plenty of fear along the way. And just the whole way I watched it unfold in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wasn't doing a radio show the first month. I wasn't writing a book the first year. And so just trusting that if I stay clear of that fear, stay on my authentic path, and relax into the doors as they open, that I will be, I am everything, you know, I have everything I need inside of me, and I will, when the time comes, have everything I need and all the people around me to work with me to help me flow into manifesting my authentic path, while, by the way, I'm partnering with them to help them manifest their authentic path.
So true. When you can get to the point where your confidence is in the fact that you're comfortable with the uncomfortable,
yeah,
when the chaos and change are what excite you, and that, yeah, that's where you know you're completely going to be okay, now all of a sudden you realize that you really can create whatever you want to create for yourself.
Well, it's the difference between thinking that knowing and doing are where the power comes from, and in fact, it's the being is where the power comes from. And on that note, we're going to take another quick break, and we will be back in 2 more minutes.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
I'm Dr. Sam Nussbaum with WellPoint. We proudly support the March of Dimes work in reducing premature birth. Almost 500,000 babies are born too soon in the United States. We're helping the March of Dimes fund cutting-edge research and life-saving programs. These programs, such as Centering Pregnancy, help moms in our communities have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Please join us during Prematurity Awareness Month in working together for stronger, healthier babies. Visit MarchOfDimes.com.
Inspired by today's show? Visit Deborah at DJWLifeCoach.com and click on the Current Offers tab to access her proven life coaching programs and tools. Everything from her signature workbooks and videos to entertaining and inspiring blogs and newsletters. You'll even have the opportunity to sign up for a 60-minute complimentary coaching session. If someone offered you a precious gift for an hour of your time, would you be interested? That's what Deborah offers in a comp session. It isn't a brief demo or sample. It's a full 45-minute coaching session focused on your current real-life challenges, plus 15 minutes to discuss any questions you may have about her approach. Those who've experienced Deborah's comp sessions will tell you that when you show up fully committed to your own growth and open to the possibilities for transformation, big breakthroughs happen. What have you got to lose other than your fears and limiting beliefs? Visit the Current Offers tab on DJWLifeCoach.com. Choose your energy and change your life.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
You are listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life with Deborah Jane Wells. If you have a question or comment for the program today, please call us toll-free at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. Or you may send an email to Deborah at DJWLifeCoach.com. Now, back to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life.
Hi, Deborah here. Welcome back to our show with my guest, Luke Iorio. In the first two segments, Luke and I examined the power of being at choice, that the way to get off the hamster wheel and find flow is to stop choosing fear as your core fuel and instead learn to choose unconditional love, respect, curiosity, compassion, and gratitude. In the final segment of today's show, we're going to take a closer look at the roles that curiosity and becoming comfortable with discomfort play in being a leader and finding flow. And Luke, I know you are a big fan of naming the elephant in the room.
You know, it's one of those things that we all know, whether it's in our personal life or at work, we always know the big issues that are in the room. You can try and hide from it. You can, you know, pretend like you look in the other direction, but at the end of the day, there's the big old elephant sitting in the corner. And that's one of the things to me that really is where you start to take a different role in your own self-leadership, and leadership of others, which I'll offer a definition for that in a moment, is that when you begin to acknowledge the things that nobody else wants to acknowledge, when you begin to talk about the things that most people don't want to discuss, when you want to take a look at the things that are uncomfortable, that's when all of a sudden your most rapid growth is going to come in. And when you're the one that is willing to talk about those things that are challenges, and, you know, even in your own life, if you just look for, hey, this is the issue that I've been hiding from for a long time, and you meet it head on, now all of a sudden the amount of energy and engagement that you're going to get from that, your ability to lead yourself through future challenges is going to grow exponentially. And when other people see you do that, you're going to be an extraordinary inspiration to them. And so I just said, you know, leadership, because I do always define that term whenever I throw it out, because I've surveyed people all over social media and in conferences and everything else, and I'm amazed at the number of different definitions I get for leadership. And I always just break it down that leadership is the moment of interaction. So it's not to denote anything to do with authority or job title. It's not to mean that one way is right, one way is wrong. Leadership in and of itself is nothing more than interaction. And so it's up to you to decide what is the impact and influence you're going to have on any interaction that you're involved with, whether you're interacting with yourself in your own self-talk or you're interacting with others. And so when you see this big elephant in the corner of the room, you see those issues that everybody's avoiding, and you choose to use that as a moment to embrace that challenge, to go after it, to get comfortable with the uncomfortable, to have those conversations so that something can actually get resolved, you are wielding an extraordinary amount of influence and having an extraordinary impact on yourself and on the people around you.
Well, and one of the things that comes to mind for me when you say that is sometimes the elephant doesn't look like an elephant. It doesn't look that big. It looks like the tip of the iceberg, to switch metaphors here for a moment. So it looks like the tip of the iceberg, but when you're paying attention to your own energy and your own reaction and whether this tip shows up over and over and over again, then what you'll find is that sometimes what looks at like a tip of the iceberg or just crumbs in the corner, sweeping those things out and dealing with them, naming them, talking about them, they are the little last residue that were keeping you from stepping on further into your greatness, expanding even further. They actually are much bigger in terms of their impact. It doesn't take, it doesn't take much fear to hold you back, and you don't have to release much fear in order to move forward. You get a huge lift from releasing every little bit of fear, noticing your verbs, noticing when you say, I have to, I should, I can, I won't. Noticing that stuff really matters because you notice where the fear is hidden.
Well, it's something I know that you talk about all the time. When I think the metaphor of the iceberg is highlights it so well is curiosity.
Yeah.
Because when you approach anything, if you approach that issue, that just whatever it is, no matter how big or small, just seems like it's out of place. It doesn't seem like it fits. It doesn't seem like it's jiving. And again, no matter how big or small, people are relatively aware of it. When you get curious about it, hey, I wonder where this is coming from. I wonder what might be creating that. You're not looking to blame a situation on anybody. You're not looking to use it to say, hey, this is what's wrong and this is what's broken and jump all over it. It's really just taking a look at it to understand it in a much different light. So when you approach it with that curiosity, you're starting to, look below the surface. And I think, Deborah, to your point, you find out so often that whatever is underneath it is so typically not what anybody thought it was. And these issues that pop up for anybody, if it's an argument or conflict that's going on among people you know in your family or in the workplace or what have you, when you see those things and you start to dive in, most of the time you find out those conflicts are created because of differences of interpretation. They're created by the filter that we talked about before. And when you approach it curiously and you start to ask, well, what's really going on here? How is it that you viewed that? What's your perspective on it? What might be another perspective on it? When you start to get in there and look for those types of things, all of a sudden understanding increases, uncertainty decreases, and you've got a lot more options back on the table. And you can start from there.
You're owning, I talked about this a lot on last week's show and the week before, and I pretty much talk about it all the time, which is 90% of what people do has nothing to do with you. 90% of what people do because of all those filters and all those lenses and all that, all those influences and whatever, it is practically impossible for you to be the sole cause of anything that's going on in someone's life. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, the corollary is true. It is practically impossible for anyone to be the sole cause of something in your life. So exactly. Applying those principles first and foremost to yourself allows you to, without judging and shaming and blaming, to be curious, which I think just totally, for me, neutralizes the judging signature, and then allows me to say, huh, I wonder why, and I wonder if I, you know, what is that really about, and owning your part of it. And when all of us own our parts of it, and this leads so beautifully for me into our conversation about organizations, groups, when each of us owns our part of the mix and is fully focused on working that, releasing the fear, stepping into our own greatness, then imagine what we do when we band together in what we call organizations, what we can do as a group when all of us are coming from that place.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and absolutely. And I, you know, you say that you might put that in the perspective of you know, 90% only has to do with that individual. I would go as far as saying 99%.
Yes.
Because it really is. It's when we're interacting, we're only interacting through our filter, and our filter is all about us. It's about who we see ourselves as, who we see other people as, it's how we react to things, and it's going to come back to us. And, you know, the way that we look at it and the way you just described it, the phrase we use around here, it's actually one of the how we put some of our values in action here, even at IPEC, is we talk about being 100% responsible. And when we say 100% responsible, it doesn't mean you have the obligation, meaning you're the one to blame if something goes wrong. It actually, you know, and others have probably said this as well, responsibility is your ability to respond.
Yeah.
It means you are 100% response able. And that's really what we focus on, is that at any given moment, you have the ability to slow down, open that aperture, become aware of the content and context of a given situation, understand the different perceptions that might be involved, especially on your own part, and then figure out, okay, what ability do I have here to respond in different ways that put this on the course that is going to help myself, help us as a group move forward, or what have you. And it really, but it always begins with looking at yourself, which of course, where you described we're going, gets to a very interesting dynamic when you get into organizations. Because now you've got anything from a few people to a few dozen to tens of thousands of employees, of individuals, that are interacting with all of these different dynamics going on.
All bringing their own filters, their own baggage, their own issues. And I just want to quickly let our listeners know that in 2 weeks, on March 6th episode, we're going to be focusing on creating a place where people love to work. And we will have another IPEC executive with us, Zach Lamel, who is going to be talking about IPEC's coach-centric leadership engagement program, through which IPEC helps develop leaders who build energized and engaged organizations. So you will want to hear that show. And Luke, why don't you and I take some time here to help set up those constructs?
Sure, absolutely. You know, this is something that, you know, you mentioned Zach and not only what he does here, but you know, he was a 18-plus-year top-level executive with Johnson & Johnson. So he applied and learned a lot of things over that course of time. But he always found, as we have found and is so integrated to what we do, is that when you put your interest in people and in understanding them, understanding what motivates them, understanding what their fears are, understanding what engages them, and you put yourself into that, you create a much more open environment, you create greater transparency. You help them understand how to relate to one another in different ways because you're building off of that understanding. When you do that, people begin to function in a very, very different manner. I mean, you can think of that even in you know, by organization. We don't have to only talk about corporations here. You can talk about families, networks, schools. There's so many different ways that the idea of a group can be defined. And so when you build that understanding, you build that transparency, you guys know that you work together so much better. There's so much more trust when you feel like you know somebody that way. And that's really what ultimately is you know, fueling us going forward. And that's becoming so critical to us as a society in terms of the way that we move forward as organizations and drive performance is, you know, we're no longer a manufacturing economy. There's no assembly line, so to speak, that is going to produce better marketing or better innovation. It just doesn't come that way. It comes from ideas. It comes from people being fully engaged in what they're doing so that they want to put their creativity into what's going on. They want to put themselves and into whatever the challenge is. They want to create art, so to speak, and even art in the workplace, meaning something very creative and genuinely theirs. The only way you're going to do that is by creating this place where they're trusting, they're comfortable, they're engaged, they feel supported, they feel aligned around whatever the purpose of that team or that unit or that company happens to be. And that's really the, you know, the nature of some of the work that we're getting into. And I know, Deborah, I mean, you can speak to so many stories that I'm sure you had through your 30-plus year career.
Well, and all of it begins with being responsible for yourself, which, by the way, is the only one you are responsible, fully responsible for. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know yourself, then you're operating blind in terms of how you're showing up, what's really going on with you, where are your fears holding you back, where, you know, what are they about? And I know for me, when I, you know, retired after 30 years in organization transformation consulting and had some amazing, wonderful times, loved it, absolutely loved so much of what I did, but also by the end of it, as Parker Palmer says, my soul and role were so disconnected that I was utterly burned out. Mm-hmm. And my, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, I was burned out. And part of my journey to my own healing, which took some time, took years, was the point at which I could stop blaming others and stop shaming myself. I had those two going on really good. I had the whole fear thing channeling in both directions. We call that in IPEC, in energy leadership terms, we call that levels 1 and 2. If you're curious, check out IPEC's website or mine, and there's lots there on energy leadership and the energy leadership index. But, you know, I had to get to the point where I got to what we call level 3, which was to accept responsibility, to be able to take the part that belonged to the others and with love and light, put that on their side of the balance sheet and release them to learn their lessons and move forward on their path and just totally detach from it. And now sit with the part that was mine, the choices I made over and over again that would lead me to get so burned out. And without blaming myself, understand where that came from. Because for a long time, I still believed that, you know, consulting and, you know, corporate, that they were the enemy. And I realized that if there was an enemy, it was the enemy I was fostering within. And that's, you know, for me, that's when that shift took place. That's the work that Luke and IPEC coaches and others do when they go into organizations. And also they have an initiative in education, which is just amazing. Mm-hmm. Susan Gonzalez is going to be here in 4 weeks and talk with us about what they're doing in the world of education. But, you know, sticking with organizations and business right now, that's the work that they're doing and helping people figure out that when they accept their own personal responsibility, that isn't a position of weakness. That's when real strength starts to happen.
It's amazing when, you know, we walk so many different individuals through these programs in corporate and education, and even our coach training program. Really a part of what they're doing is the phrase I like to use is they learn how to walk with a mirror. Because they recognize that no matter what is going on, it's a reflection back on them. It's a reflection of what's going on for them. And if they look in that mirror, but they look at it from the standpoint of curiosity, point of discovery, to be almost kind of that scientist, to figure out a little bit of what's going on, not to overburden themselves, not to blame themselves in any regard, it's amazing how much they learn about themselves. And as soon as they begin to take that responsibility that you're describing, now it changes the way that they can interact with the others around them. They can lead and have that impact and influence in a very, very different way. Because it's ultimately then how we relate to one another. It's how we work together. It is how we collaborate and cooperate. That ultimately is what's going to lead to a lot of organizational change. And there's other levels beyond that. You can go much further than that. But for so much of the stress of what we see our corporations, our school systems, us personally dealing with, God knows what's going on constantly down in Washington, the more that they can begin to accept that responsibility initially themselves and then figure out how we can begin to cooperate and compromise and relate to one another in a very different manner, all of a sudden great things are possible.
And on that wonderful, empowering note, we are going to sign off for this week. Tune in again next week when we'll begin exploring sensory balance, the next building block of my discovery framework for my upcoming book being released by Hay House Balboa Press this spring. Many thanks again to my guest today, Luke Iorio, and to my incredible Voice America production team, including my engineer, Roland Maldonado, executive producer, Randall Libero, and everyone else at Voice America who keeps me on track and makes this show possible. When you visit my voiceamerica.com host page, you'll find more information about upcoming episodes and the nature of life coaching, with opportunities to subscribe to my blog, social media feeds, and special offers to guide you on your journey to wholeness. You can even listen to recordings of past episodes. If you'd like to learn more about the transformative power of life coaching and the 60-minute complimentary coaching sessions I offer, listen to the recording of my very first episode on January 9th, 2013, starting at the 37-minute mark for an insightful overview. Remember, when you fall in love with yourself, everything else falls into place, personally and professionally. You are loved and loving, blessed and a blessing. Namaste.
Thanks again for listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life. Please rejoin your host, Deborah Jane Wells, again next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's time to get off that hamster wheel and start fulfilling your destiny by creating a life you love.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.